Thank you, Janice. And it's good to be here, and it's always nice to see some familiar faces. I spoke here, I think, the first year that I came to British Columbia, and so it's been a while. Thank you also for that hymn, 367, for the healing of the nations. I thought that for Peace Sunday, that is a very wonderful song to sing and to remember as we go through life. On the front cover of the September-October 2004 edition of the MCC Commonplace magazine are the words, "Dividing Wall." The wall that is being referred to is the 720-kilometer wall that Israel is building, maybe has finished building, in order to separate Jew from Palestinian. Until 2002, Hassan Khalid, a Palestinian farmer, had access to his fields, his greenhouses, his olive trees, as well as two water wells. But today, the grim reality for him, as well as many other Palestinian farmers, is that this wall, a zone of fences, barbed wire, and patrol roads, separates them from their land, some of the most productive in the region. The Israel-West Bank wall does not represent a new phenomenon. Berlin was divided with a wall that separated friends and families for years. The walls that we build do not always have a physical presence. In South Africa, we have those places that were called homelands. When people in Ireland and Lebanon could not resolve their conflicts, Belfast and Beirut became divided cities. Canada has made reserves for the First Nations people. Sometimes we find the strength to dismantle these walls that we construct. Other times, rather than dismantling them, we build them higher. Walls keep people in and others out. The building of walls to forcefully separate people is not a friendly activity. They stir up fear and hatred that have led to activities such as ethnic cleansing, racism, and an attitude of suspicion towards anyone who is different from us. I recall the deep suspicion that has existed between Protestant and Catholic. And while serving with MCC in Zambia, I had the occasion to stay at a Catholic mission. During my stay there, I had a conversation with one of the sisters, and she began to tell me her story and how she was indoctrinated to be suspicious of anyone who was not Catholic. What she was saying seemed so familiar, and when she finished her story, I told her that I had been told the same things about Catholics. I had been on the other side of the wall. That suspicion is still very real in some places today. When the recommendation to continue the Mennonite Catholic dialogue was presented to the Mennonite World Conference Council in Zimbabwe, I remember how the Latin American caucus group really struggled with that recommendation. They were finally able to give the blessing with the condition that the conversation did not end with the 16th century, but that it began to address some of the issues the Mennonite Church in Latin America is facing today. In 1997, I spent 4 weeks in Israel. And during my time there, I had the wonderful opportunity to visit places and monuments and buildings that brought me closer to the people that are mentioned in our scriptures. And yet it is exactly some of these places and monuments and buildings that remind both Jew and Palestinian of their misunderstandings and why they mistrust each other. The monuments remain as a strong reminder of the deep division between two people groups. The passage that we read this morning speaks about a dividing wall. As Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, "Remember that you, that is the Gentile, were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without Christ in the world." This is the bad news, but there is the good news. Paul goes on to say in verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made us both one and broken down the dividing wall of hostility." And then in verse 17, "And he," that is Jesus, "came and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who are near. Christ restored the relationship between Gentile and Jew and between humanity and God. Christ was a bridge builder. One of the questions that this text raises for me is, am I building walls or am I building bridges? One activity separates. The other activity brings people together. Our scripture calls us to build bridges, bridges of peace. One of MCC's Binational's key initiatives for the coming years is interfaith bridge building. I was quite pleased to hear this, because so much of the unrest in our world over the years and centuries comes from misunderstanding or hostilities between people of different faiths and cultures. Christianity has been an active player in the cause of some of this unrest. While we lament the anger, the hostility, and the brutality that happens out there in the name of religious fervor, perhaps we also need to acknowledge the misunderstandings and divisions, and not always amicable ones, within our own Mennonite family. We have not exactly had a stellar history. Sometimes I wonder whether the misunderstandings, the anger, and the hatred such as we find in the Congo, Burundi, Middle East, and Sudan are so different from what we might experience within ourselves, within our families, in our community, or in our country. I think they differ only in their magnitude. About a year ago, the Vancouver Sun included an article which mentioned that by the year 2017, but only about 1 out of 6 people in British Columbia will be Caucasian. What might this mean about the increased possibility of rubbing shoulders with people of other faith and culture as we play or work or go about our daily activities? Walter Wink, a professor of biblical interpretation at Auburn Theological Seminary, writes that it is important for us as Christians to practice peacemaking in our daily life. For if we can't find peaceful solutions to the small disagreements we inevitably encounter when relating to each other, how will we ever be able to respond creatively to violence when the big test comes? I heard one of our church members at Emmanuel Mennonite say something somewhat similar during a service when we were invited to share something of what we were thankful for. And I think some of us were a little taken aback by what he said. He said that he was thankful for the opportunity to work through issues of conflict in the Strata Council where he was living. He went on to say, if I can't help solve these smaller issues of conflict, how can I expect to make any difference in some of the larger conflicts we find in our world? And so, being somewhat of a practical person, I am choosing to apply the morning's theme to simple ways in which we as individuals, we as churches, can be peacemakers. And I will do so using stories I have gathered along the way. From a story that comes out of Bosnia, I have learned that singing each other's songs can be helpful in building bridges. In the early 90s, war was tearing the Sarajevo neighborhood apart. In one neighborhood lived a man named Kos, who was Catholic. His neighbor, Rafik, was Muslim. When Kos's food supply was low, Rafik shared his food. This gift of food was especially meaningful to Kos, because according to the divisions that the war was creating, Muslims and Catholics were supposed to be enemies. One day, as Rafik was looking for food, he was shot dead by a sniper. Kos remembered Rafik's kindness, and that kept alive his belief in the goodness of others, and it motivated him to look for ways to help his country work toward reconciliation. After the war ended in 1995, Kos, who was also a professional vocalist, joined the Pontanama Choir. The choir was forming around a radical idea. It was the idea that Bosnians, Muslims, Catholics, Orthodox Christians, Jews, and other faiths could sing together. The choir took on the name Pontanama, Pont meaning bridge, and Anima meaning soul, soul bridge. The mission of the choir was to demonstrate to Bosnia and to the larger world what living peacefully requires: respect and relationships. In February 2001, the choir had their first concert in the city called Banja Luka in the northeastern part of Bosnia. The choir was very apprehensive. Would the audience tolerate their diverse group? Would they even show up? Local Orthodox church leaders had reluctantly allowed them to include two Islamic songs in their concert. Daniela Torbic, who sang a solo in one of these Islamic pieces, remembers trembling at this first concert. After the concert, a Muslim woman came to Daniela and said, "You have no idea what it meant to me that you sang here and that others heard those songs." Pont Anima, the soul bridge, through song, has been able to provide a glimpse of what Bosnia once was and what it could be. A mix of different people living in harmony. How do we as individuals, how do we as churches make space for other people's songs? Singing each other's songs can build bridges of peace. This past August, I had the opportunity and privilege in participating in MCC Learning Tour to India. The purpose of the trip was to visit some of the projects where MCC is helping to respond to those who were affected by the tsunami. While we were there, we also visited some of the other MCC India projects. One of our visits included a project that was the vision of six young medical students. Rather than choosing to work in one of the larger cities, where probably they would have earned a fairly good livelihood, they chose to set up a clinic in one of the rural areas where no medical services were available. In addition to their health program, they also invited agriculturalists to come in and to set up some agricultural projects in a number of the surrounding villages. We went to visit some of these villages. And at one of these villages, we were met at the gate by their instrumentalists. And these instrumentalists then led us to the center of the village where they had set up some chairs for us, the only chairs I think they had in the village, and the rest of them sat in a circle, in a place where the rest of the people had gathered. After several words of greeting, some of the young men started to a circle dance. Then they were joined by some of the young women and then by some children. After the dance, one of the young men who was from the group of dancers came to a person in our group and with great excitement told him that some of the people from the higher caste had come to join them in the dance. Later on, we had found out that most of the people from the higher castes were sitting at the edge of the circle, basically observing what was going on. That several of them would cross the caste divide and put their arms around, and to dance with those of the lowest caste was quite unusual. And perhaps this gesture might be the beginning of breaking down some of the walls in that particular village. We don't know how that story is yet going to end. With whom do I, with whom do you, choose to play or not to play with? How do we make that effort to connect with others who are different from us, whether it be based on economics, education, culture, or faith? Earlier, I mentioned that MCC has chosen interfaith bridge building as one of its key initiatives in the next years. And it isn't that we haven't done this before, but as Rob Davis mentioned at one of the workshops that we had at our AGM a week ago, he said one of the reasons that MCC has chosen to be more intentional in this area is because of the state that the world finds itself in post 9/11. Don Peters, who is the executive director for MCC Canada, followed that statement with a story. A few years after 9/11, he had the opportunity of attending MCC Alberta's annual general meeting. And after the meeting ended on Saturday night, Abe Jansen, who is the director for Alberta, asked Don if he wanted to accompany him to a meeting at the local mosque. When they got there, the leaders of the mosque had gathered, and they asked MCC whether MCC would be willing to receive the blankets from the Muslim community to send to Afghanistan. They had been somewhat apprehensive because of the hostility that had been raised after 9/11 toward people of Islamic faith and those of Arabic culture. By reaching out and accepting that gift from the Muslim community, MCC was beginning to build some bridges in Alberta with the Muslim community. We believe that it is important to act in ways that counter the prevalent prejudices, fears, racism, and stereotyping within our culture. Playing together, and I'm using that term broadly, can be a bridge-building activity. Forgiveness is another path to peace. Peter asked Jesus how many times we should forgive, and we know the answer. In Matthew chapter 18, we read, not seven times, but 70 times seven. In Greek, the word to forgive means to liberate, to release from bondage. It means the remission of debt, guilt, and punishment. Jean Vanier, the founder of the L'Arche community, states, we humans are called to become free, to free others, and to nurture life. One way of doing this is through the act of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not just about telling someone else that their apology is accepted and that you forgive them. Forgiveness is also about finding freedom from those inner hurts that have governed our behavior and have caused us to act inhumanely towards others. Vanier writes that it is these inner hurts that are at the origin of these barriers that we create. These barriers and these wounds cover up and prevent healthy communities because they prevent communication and openness. Vanier says that in order to become truly free, which is to be most human, these barriers need to be removed. Forgiveness is this process of removing barriers. We all know that some hurts are easy to forgive. Other hurts rest with us for days and months and perhaps even years because they are so deep and so difficult to let go of. Probably all of us know of some families or friends who have broken relationships because of some hurts. And then I think of some people who have been hurt so deeply, but that with that extra bit of grace from God, have found a way to let go of that hurt and to begin the process of healing. I think of the task force on peace and reconciliation that has been taking place in South Africa. Some pretty tough stuff that they confronted. But by dealing with those hurts, they could also begin to find healing. I also think of Wilma Dirksen, and probably all of us know her story. One day, her daughter, Candy, did not return from school. Sometime later, she was found in a neighbor's basement, murdered. I can't begin to imagine what a parent experiences when something like this happens. Once Wilma allowed her feelings to emerge, her first response was a desire for revenge. And that is a very normal feeling. But when she saw this person who murdered her daughter, she began to see him as another human being, someone who might have a wife, a son, or a daughter. He too was a person with needs, with fears, and with feelings, and a person for whom God cared. When she was able to see him in this light, her response began to change. Bit by bit, she was able to let go of her hurt and to allow God's peace and love fill the space that had been taken over by hate and for a desire for revenge. Over time, Wilma Dirksen was able to forgive the person who had murdered her daughter. A recent book of hers, Unsettled Weather, How Do I Forgive, is a Bible study booklet, and it's also available through our office. As a person who has had much to forgive, Wilma is undoubtedly very qualified to write such a Bible study. Forgiveness is not always easy. For those of us who desire to be bridge builders, making peace through forgiveness is an important path to take. Henri Nouwen, a Catholic writer who has been much appreciated by Catholic and Protestant alike, speaks of prayer as the ultimate way to peacemaking. He writes, prayer, living in the presence of God, is the most radical peace action we can imagine. Prayer is peacemaking, and not simply the preparation before, the support during, or the thanksgiving after. Prayer is not primarily a way to get something done. In prayer, we undo the fear of death and therefore the basis of all human destruction. Last fall, Emmanuel Mennonite hosted George and Tobia Veith, who are missionaries in Macau. Macau is known as the Las Vegas of the Orient, and so with gambling activities such as prostitution, as well as gang-related activities. The Macau Church will take prayer walks around the city, stopping at various places, and pray that God's power will transform the powers that are so prevalent in that city. What if more of us did that kind of praying as we walked around our neighborhoods? I wonder what power of God might be unleashed through our prayers. The poet Wordsworth said, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of." As Christians, we are sent into this world to be peacemakers in Christ's name. Prayer is one way for this to happen. Prayer is a bridge-building activity. Singing, playing together, forgiving, and praying are four activities that bring people together, activities that help to break down walls of hostility and begin to build bridges of peace. Each one of these activities are something all of us can do. As you walk through this coming week, become more conscious of how you relate to those around you. Are you building walls, or are you creating bridges or building bridges? To close, I would like to leave a blessing that I've adapted from the book Sacred Journeys by Jan Richardson. Go with God's peace, blessed to be a blessing. May the God of the poor, the Savior of the oppressed, and the Spirit of justice work within you that you might be a bearer of warmth, of love, and peace in the corridors that lead to life. Thank you.